It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As the 2024 primary season approaches, we learn about the One Country Project and efforts by Democrats to court rural voters in swing states like Wisconsin. Call in with a question. You can add comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Former U.S. Senator Heidi Heitkamp served as the first female senator elected from North Dakota from 2013 until 2019. She's a Democrat and on the board of directors of the One Country Project. Senator Heitkamp, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having me on and talking about rural America.
Yes, the Pew Research Center has found rural residents increasingly identifying with the Republican Party in recent years. Why are Democratic candidates struggling to connect with voters in rural America?
I think for a long time, the Democratic Party started talking to groups that they hadn't done well with, highly educated suburban voters, business people, looking at urban America and talking about the problems, addressing concerns. And during that time period, even though the Democratic Party continued to do the things that they've always done, which is make huge amounts of investment, being concerned about the quality of water, the quality of housing, they just didn't talk about it a lot. They didn't spend a lot of time there. And then there is the all-important culture wars. And so, I think the Democratic Party didn't show up and listen and really understand the concerns that a lot of people in rural America were expressing about the changes, the demographic changes, which aren't something the party could control, but at least being there talking about why it was important to embrace the values that the Democratic Party has of equity and fairness and making sure that everybody is giving an equal chance. And so I think it was number one, first and foremost, not necessarily policies, but the failure to show up.
What do you think Republican leaders are getting right in their advocacy for rural communities, for showing up in rural communities?
Well, I think if I can draw a contrast, I think that the Democratic Party, their message has always been one of positivity. Look, we recognize there's going to be problems. You know, we've got a huge brain drain. It's hard for someone to age in rural America when there's not health care. It's hard for somebody to eat well when you're in a food desert like we have in rural America, and constantly talking about how to solve the problems. The Republican Party's campaign has been a lot of fear of the other, fear of these changes that are going on in America, and fanning the flames of that fear and leading to, I think, people basically not necessarily supporting one or the other, but I think in their mind, picking the lesser of two evils. And if you look at polling, it actually bears that out, that where you ask the question, do you think the Democratic Party understands the concerns of rural America? I think it's in the high 60s, people say no. But for Republicans, it's in the high 50s, people say no too in rural America, that the Republican Party doesn't understand the concerns. And so I think there's an opportunity for smartly placed dialogue that could lead to not necessarily winning in rural America, but not losing so badly that you lose states like Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, where that rural vote is on the margin and very significant to winning or losing.
We're talking about rural voters with former U.S. Senator Heidi Heitkamp, a Democrat who represented North Dakota. You can join in with your questions and comments about One Country Project, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. You mentioned smartly placed dialogue. What is the mission then of the One Country Project?
Well, the first and foremost, we care about rural America. It's not just necessarily a partisan organization. It's what needs to happen. How do we improve conditions for rural America? How do we make sure that there's opportunity for young people? And so we do a lot of work in terms of message, but ideas that can, in fact, make a difference. And I think publicize those, hope to educate a number of people who are running, maybe some people who are running in states for Congress or for the Senate who have not don't have the experience that I had growing up in a town of 90 people and need to understand what are the concerns of rural America. So we do polling, we do outreach like our summits, our rural summits, and we basically present white papers of ideas that we think would be positively received in rural America. And you know, we think that if candidates are educated about what the issues are and what the concerns are and willing to express support for some of these ideas. But the other thing is you have to encourage people to actually get out there. I mean, to not just go where they're comfortable, go where people are going to be, I think, happy, you know, to see them, but go where people are maybe a little less optimistic or a little less thrilled to see a Democrat darken their door. I always tell people, if somebody's mad at you, the best thing you can do is go stand next to them for a while. They can't stay mad that long. And you can, in fact, open up a dialogue. And so we're grateful that a lot of candidates have taken our advice, but probably more importantly, that the worst thing for rural America is to become one party America. I think that when you are maybe a little more hesitant to give your vote just based on party affiliation and you want to hear what the plan is, I think that you end up with better public policy, but you also end up with a more diverse electorate. And, you know, I know this is going to sound harsh, but when rural America is 80%, 90% in some areas Republican, there are a lot of people who will feel like culturally they don't belong there. And these are smart, especially young people, may even be from the region, may have graduated from medical school, be willing to come home. But if they feel like the home doesn't reflect their values, they're not coming.
Yes, I
want
to.
So it's really important I think it's really important to, you know, have a great diversity of political thought in every location and among every group, not just rural America.
I do want to dig deeper there on what is one country's plan for young rural voters. What do politicians need to do to win over the young people's vote in rural areas?
Well, you need to understand what the concerns are. You know, when you're talking about students or people who aren't married, that's a whole different demographic than young families who are struggling to stay and live in the town that they grew up in. So what are their concerns? I mean, their concerns are daycare. Mm-hmm. How do I afford daycare? And if I'm pregnant, do I have to drive 70 miles if I go into labor to deliver my baby because there isn't a facility within 70 miles that can actually, you know, has a labor and delivery unit? That the concerns are, can my mother get health care where she is? And how do we support my mother? And then can I buy healthy food at home? Can I, you know, stream Netflix? Can I work from home for a company like Microsoft if I'm in rural Minnesota? Southwest Minnesota, is the broadband big enough? And so these are all economic issues that I think make a huge difference. And then I think you also need to understand that where I think rural America has been labeled as a very conservative place. And I think, you know, culturally, they are more conservative than a lot of other areas in the country. But by the same token, when you look at the vote that was taken in Kansas on women's reproductive rights, rural America or rural Kansas voted to basically protect a woman's right to choose. And I think that surprised everyone. Didn't surprise me, because I think that for too long they've been told that these are the issues that that motivate rural voters. And then we find out when rural voters are given a chance to vote on those issues, they vote overwhelmingly To protect people's individual liberties. And
Let
you saw that a little bit in Wisconsin with the vote for your Supreme Court justice.
And
we're
going to get there with former U.S. Senator Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, co-founder of the One Country Project, now on the board of this Democratic-leaning group that's engaging rural voters. Call in with a question, share your perspectives, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the 2024 campaign map starts to take shape, we examine how Democrats seek to win back rural voters, especially in battleground states like Wisconsin. Former U.S. Senator Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota is on the board of the One Country Project with a mission to advance the priorities of rural America. Be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. You can share your perspective, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Reggie in Oshkosh. Reggie, hi. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. Quick question, possible suggestion. Maybe Democratic people trying to branch out into more rural communities need a more direct and straightforward approach, like saying, hey, these are issues that you are struggling with in your community, and here is how your elected official has voted against your best interests, and just show them flat out, like, this is how your district, your county is voting for you by the person you elect, and here are the proposals Democrats have posted they're voting against to benefit your community.
Reggie, thank you. Senator Heitkamp.
Yeah, I mean, excellent point, and I totally agree. And I think Reggie makes a really important point, which is you can't just show up every 4 years. You've got to have an ongoing dialogue, and you got to look at who represents you on the county commission. I don't know if you called county commissions in Wisconsin. You know, who's on the city council? Who's representing you on the school board? Who's representing you on the water board? The conservation board? Who's representing you at the rural electric, which are, you know, heavily dependent on federal investment? And so, you know, but to do that in every just once every 4 years is not a successful strategy. That those comments and that awareness needs to be ongoing. And so when someone takes a vote against the Inflation Reduction Act, for instance, which had thousands of dollars for Wisconsin farmers to do conservation programs that they want to do, like EQIP, like CPS. You know, these are the times to have the dialogues, not when you want their vote, but when you want to continue the conversation. So Reggie's absolutely right. But we also, I mean, you know, lament always as Democrats, they vote against their interest. Well, do you know what their interest is? Because honestly, I don't think anybody ever believes they vote against their interests. So we have to kind of define what the significant differences are. So there's a better understanding among rural voters what those, you know, kind of economic issues are in particular.
Let's go to Denny now from Ogdensburg. Denny, hi. What would you like to share?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a 74-year-old man who has voted years ago, donated a little to the Republican Party, now donate to the Democratic Party. But my concern is that you get mired too much in everybody's issues. Recently, I've talked to about 20 people from both parties, just asking them what are the five or six most important things to them. And when they were done, I listened attentively, didn't interrupt, and said, you know, they're all important issues. But here's the five most important to me. And I go down the environment, whether it's clean water in Wisconsin. It's not just the climate change. It's the local environment. Go to our national budget, which we're 60% of our debt's on the Republican watch. Go to universal health care. 45% right now is middlemen cost. Go to publicly funded elections. I've not had a one of them who didn't sit back and say, wow, I never thought of it that way. And so I think we get too diverted into everybody's issue. you know, too many minor issues without really stating the difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, because they don't win on any of those issues. So that's my thought.
Denny, thank you. Yes, thank you for the call.
Wait, before Denny goes, Denny, I think you should run for office.
I have been the village president. I retired. We had 3 years operating capital in the bank, managed our money right. I was on a school board that our team brought us to a top 10 school in the state of Wisconsin. Part of my problem right now, Heidi, is there's too many people running that I call the well-intentioned ignorant. They have good intentions.
Oh, Denny.
I mean, there is somebody that should be hired by the Democratic Party. And I mean, I couldn't say it any better than what he just said, which is you can't just approach people and say, okay, now I'm going to change your mind. You got to approach people, listen to what they say, listen to what their concerns are, then express your opinion and have a conversation. You know, I used to say that in every small town in America, there was a coffee table where people got together and did exactly that. And maybe they didn't change each other's minds or each other's votes, but they had a civil conversation about what was going on in this country. And we've stopped doing that. Maybe it's because of, you know, we're connecting on the internet, on Facebook, where people can be anonymous in whatever mean thing that they say, instead of sitting at a table and having the back and forth and the debate that defends your position. And so, you know, he sounds delightful. And I should have known that, of course, he had served his country and his state and his community based on what he said. And so, Denny, thank you for your service. Those jobs that like school board that people don't necessarily pursue because they think they should be the next senator or the next president, those are the jobs that really make a difference for people. And when people in those jobs are thoughtful and listening, you have a happier and better community.
We're talking with former U.S. Senator Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota as we look at rural voters and how Democrats engage. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Senator, I want to look to our Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. You were about to bring her up earlier. And according to the Rural Journal, the Daily Yonder, rural voters in our state shifted toward this liberal state Supreme Court justice in the 2023 election. What issues do you see moving rural voters toward the Democratic Party?
I think rural voters don't like dysfunctional government. I don't think they like name calling. I don't think that they like when they feel like somebody is trying to manipulate the system so that they can have their way as opposed to working the electoral process to have their way. But I will tell you that rural women care about reproductive rights. And this your candidate, now judge or justice, was very clear on her perspective. There's a lot of people who maybe are uncomfortable about judges being that blatant about what they think. But, you know, I think on an important issue like reproductive rights, people have a right to know what your perspective is. And once they knew that perspective, I think there were a lot of counties where she didn't carry the majority, but she certainly did better than, say, did better than President Biden in those counties. And so I think she had a message. It resonated particularly with rural women, and they voted and reflected that way. And so that's why I'm saying we can't be afraid to have a conversation about reproductive rights in rural America. We can't be afraid to have those cultural conversations in rural America.
You won statewide elections in a largely rural state of North Dakota. In 2018, you lost a U.S. Senate seat to a conservative supporter, a former President Donald Trump. What did you learn from that loss about the Democratic Party's competitiveness in rural areas?
Yeah, when I ran in 12, I was a long shot candidate. I was a surprise victory. But at the time, I knew that 22% of the people who voted for Mitt Romney in North Dakota would cross over and vote for me in the Senate. I knew that because we had done tracking polls that showed that that was kind of my headwind coming into kind of a partisan race. When I ran for re-election in 18, that number was only 4%. And so only 4% of the people who supported Donald Trump would cross over and vote for me. And so we've become more polarized as a populace and less willing to cross over and vote for someone who has a different initial behind their name. There also in North Dakota was a narrowing of the number of independents. I always have won big. You know, I used to win elections in North Dakota
very
by
quickly.
65%. I mean, you know, and so it has changed dramatically. But that change can't just be lamented as, oh, look how horrible this is. That you've got to analyze what have you done wrong. And that's why I took the resources that I had left over from that Senate campaign
and put them toward the One Country Project. Heidi Heitkamp, former U.S. Senator, you're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.